TV Corner.
Hey guys, welcome to another Film Core TV Corner Game of Thrones podcast. This is season 8, episode 4, titled The Last Stark. With me I have Greg.
Yo.
And yeah, let's get right back into this episode. We're episode 4 of 6 for this season. And we're taking some interesting turns, writing-wise, that I did not expect.
Oh, stop being coy. It sucked. It was trash.
Like, we're recording this a day after, and come on, I mean, the jury's out, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
this is everything that we were worried about. It's been so clear, but, like, everyone, it's, you know, it was really funny for me to see, like, how this was the episode that really, like, pushed everybody over the cliff, basically, like, viewers. Like
yeah.
People who are like yeah. really wanted to just still believe that maybe there was something that was going to be pulled out by the end of it. Like a friend of mine even compared it to season 2 of True Detective.
Oh yeah.
I think it'll come around. You know, and then like episode 8 comes around, and then 9, and then you know it's just like, all right, yeah, this thing was a.
That's a great comparison because I also held on real hard through season 2 of True Detective, and let me tell
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I did too. I really wanted to like it.
Essentially, this episode starts off with the day after the Battle of Winterfell. So we open with the North apparently doesn't remember. They have a mass funeral by fire, then a feast afterwards, and they seem to have forgotten who sort of the real hero was. Yes, it was Arya, but also, like, Dany was 70% of that.
The problem, like, from the get-go is that no character acts in line with how they've been established over the last, like, 6-7 years.
That's true.
Right? Like, across the board.
I mean, it's weird that they're trying to really paint Dany as a sort of, like, unstable, jealous character. Like, she's really upset when Jon is really celebrated by Tormund and all the rest of his homies. And in a way, I'm just like, why? For years, people, when they see Daenerys, have always been really enamored by her and really wanted to be around her. And now she's sort of treated as, like, this, like, no one cares about her in a weird way. Like, I don't know. Like, it's weird. And, like, also, she never tries to really insert herself in any social situation. Like, she's always sitting there like, oh, someone talked to me. No one's talking to me. I'm pissed. Instead of, like, being a little bit more personal.
Yeah, so I wonder, because, I mean, I think at this point, you know, especially with the Starbucks cup, which I know we'll get into in detail, but... you know, I guess I'm curious from you sort of how you took the sort of, gender politics of this episode. Cause I thought that was that, like, I found it kind of shocking, mm-hmm. you know, even just like,
all right, let me, I'm glad you asked honestly, mm-hmm. because I'm really upset. Comparatively to Jon, Dany has lost way more in her life. And just like, it's not really fair for her to like, not be able, like many women, the second you show emotion, you're unstable, you can't be trusted, you're not fit to rule. God forbid, like, John ruined the entire wildling mission in the North because he just wanted to bang Ygritte. Like, do we not remember that? But no, like, Dany's the one just fucking up everything all the time. When she is literally listening to them every step of the way. When is she ever not done what they advise her to do? The only time she sort of broke the rules is when she attacked the Lannister caravan leaving Highgarden after they sacked it. And she just attacked the end of the line. It wasn't even like she could have slaughtered everyone in that army, but she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like really not fair for them to keep acting like she's some kind of monster or becoming like unhinged when she just lost half of her army fighting their battle, like lost a dragon. Like, I don't understand like why she's not allowed to feel anything about anything.
Well, and you're touching a little bit on the sort of collateral damage of how they fumbled this Night's King thing, right? Because
yes.
in making it the second to last battle, right, it also sort of makes it feel as if everything she's done was like a favor and not out of real necessity, right? Which was like,
yeah.
And that's problematic, actually, to the sort of, to the way the characters interact with each other and like, and to explaining their motivations for stuff, right? Like, yeah, she does it because she loves Jon, or like, that's what sways her, right? But it's also because it's obviously the thing that has to happen. Until it doesn't. Until mm-hmm. you see that, like, oh, wait, but they killed him and now it's over. And now they're going to just turn back around. And then you go, well, did she have to do that? Or maybe she should have stayed down south and, like, let the North get run over and then just killed Cersei and then moved out. You know what I mean? Like, maybe there was a way to just do that. To just flip it around, you know?
I mean, there was a lot of things here where we didn't really pay off a lot of things that we've been building up to. Like, what role did Jon really play in the Battle for Winterfell? What role did Bran really play? At this point, like, I guess, I mean, what role did the dragons really play? I guess they burned some people. They were effective in that way. But for the most part, I mean, they didn't, they weren't, like, this big hero in the entire battle. I mean, others might feel differently, but to be honest, if they still have the amount of men that they claim to have had on that board, then ultimately, maybe they could have possibly have done it without her.
Yeah, 100%. Like, she gets painted as this hysterical girlfriend, who is technically correct in this idea that, like, in a male-dominated society, people will not respect me if, you know, if they know that you're an option, right? But it also goes against everything that has been set up about how she views the world, right? Like, she has not been someone to fear perception in the past.
Yeah.
And so it is really weird that she, like, I 100% expected them to be together as a couple, you know what I mean? And be like, we are starting a new Targaryen lineage here. And that she would be the exact person to be like, well, we're stopping with all these gender differences, right? Or sort of like judgments, mm-hmm. right? On power.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we're going to lead as a couple. And we, you know, we've both proven in our own selves individually and to the people around us that we're worthy of the throne together. So it becomes, it's just like, it just feels so unearned. It feels so false. I mean, it really, it's like, it almost feels like a completely different show. And, you know, it feels like if you had told me that they had fired Benioff and Weiss and had to hand off the reins to a couple new guys, you know what I mean? Like, I would have believed it by the way the season's been going.
Yeah, and like, okay, honestly, like, your opinion, if you were Jon and you found out that Dany was your aunt, would you still bang / marry her? There's no judgment here. Let's just be honest, given the situation. I mean,
given the sort of like the rules of that world, no, not an issue.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it just seems so out of character for Jon, who is, like, I understand him not wanting to keep this secret about who he really is. That makes sense. There's no reason to lie about it. Why doesn't he just come out and tell everyone at the feast? Like, hey, this is who I am. Me and Dany are getting married. She's still going to be in charge. But we're joining all this mm-hmm. stuff together. Everybody be cool. Like, I don't think anyone would really object to this.
Yeah.
And I really don't appreciate how all of a sudden Varys is, like, switching sides on Dany. Like, didn't you just say you dedicated your whole life to putting her on the throne? So the second you, like, feel weird about her, you just fucking jump ship and support Jon, who you've known for, like, 10 seconds?
But, you know, in sort of in this theme of characters betraying who they've been, right, in the show so far, like, Varys and Tyrion have a really stupid conversation about all this. And it's framed as
for the most calculated people, they would never have this conversation in front of the throne. Like, what?
Yeah, it's, there's so many, there's so many problems. And I think it's so beautiful and so perfect that the Starbucks cup occurred because it's the perfect symbol for, like, just how
mass consumerism, lack of care. Like, yeah, like, it really is.
How half-assed they did this, right? That they would allow something like that to get through the myriad, you know, barriers.
Of checkpoints?
Yeah. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you would have had to have, like, at least 15 people, at least, looking at that monitor on set, right? Or, like,
including Talon, who's sitting in front of it. Right. Let me just point that out.
Right there. Then,
like,
then all the mm-hmm. post department, then, like, everything. Yeah. You know, so
on that, I mean, yeah, that's the thing that really, like, blows my mind. I mean,
I didn't think it was as apparent as it is, like, on the, you know, when I started seeing the memes and the photos, like, on Twitter and stuff. But I when I got home today, I did like fast forward through it and, like, find the shot, and it's shocking. It's shocking how blatant it is, and you know, I paused it and I was staring at the frame. And suddenly, it just, the cheapness of that plastic little cup kind of spread out.
Well, it's like to the naked. Rest it's of in a blank corner by itself. It's really highlighted. Yeah. If you're not looking at Jon, it's really there. Yeah. Like, there's no reason anyone should have missed that.
No, it's almost like they're saying, fuck it, we're over it, you know. And I haven't been watching these things, but apparently the little, like, HBO featurettes with Benioff and Weiss after the show are kind of pathetic, too. The guys don't seem to have very much to say. They seem quite checked out with it all, you know?
Cashed out, mm-hmm. as some might say.
Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, I think, like, I still enjoyed a lot of just seeing characters together. I mean, it's... Mm-hmm. But it... it's a far cry from what the show was, and it's like, I don't know, it's always a shame when you can't finish off as strongly as it started. I mean, it really is. Like, I think...
I mean, that's indicative, I think, in even John's final goodbyes.
Oh, yeah.
To Ghost. Pete, like, what kind of, like, I don't, why is he giving Ghost away? Like, I don't understand what's happening.
I mean, fine, I'll take that, but just even... Why have Tormund live if he's just gonna go up beyond the wall?
Go up north.
Why is Sam not like a maester? Like, is the battle still gonna continue or not? Because you can't. Like, why are they letting people fuck off now? You know, why aren't they continuing?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. To Danny's point of like, now it's time to turn the favor. Everyone's like, okay, time to go pack it up. Like, the wildlings aren't like, cool, let's maybe go down and help you out. Yeah. Like, why?
And it's.
Like, I guess Tormund initially did not sign on to help Dany. Like, he just signed on to help Jon. I get it. But, like, also, like, didn't you just toast to her? Why can't you just be like, hey, we're going to send at least, you know, 1,000 people down with you?
And also, I mean, what is the world going to look like now with, like, the wall being sort of broken, with Night's King not being there anymore? And you know, it's just, like, what is the reality of the world that we're looking at now? Thought about it all. I don't think they care about it all. There was a lot of like unnecessary screen time given to people up north when really they could have just shown us more of the south. I thought that does the episode run longer also than
it was an hour and a
half.
It
was, right? Okay. Cause I was like, man, there's a lot of stuff in this one. You know, I was surprised that they ended up back like in that little line in front of Cersei and the...
Oh my god. Okay, before we slide down south, mm-hmm. let's just touch on two more things. Some other characters going south, I guess. Jamie and Brienne.
Oh yeah. Why does he stay just to leave again? Why not? He should just leave when he first has the opportunity to. Like, that was such a weird choice too. Like that he gets motivated to go down because of some words about Cersei having won a battle. I mean,
I don't really have a problem with him leaving. I understand him sort of feeling like responsible for her actions and her being sort of a monster. But the way he leaves Brienne, to me, yeah.
Yeah, why doesn't he leave after they sleep together? Like why go through the whole rigmarole of like him being like, well, now I'm going to stay here and just live my life in the north. I mean, like, what is the purpose of that? To just, you know, it's like that would work if maybe you had four more episodes to be like, oh, and now he's got to be pulled out of retirement, whatever. But in that speed, in that amount of time, why even go through that? It just, I don't know, man. It's
also the scene with him and Tyrion and with Bronn.
Oh, that was bizarre.
What?
That was so bizarre. What? That was so bizarre.
Like, no one. Okay, wait. So you're going to cut. This guy's going to come in here, threaten the hand of the queen and like want a celebrated hero. He just walks into Winterfell? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, this seems, like, sort of crazy. Like, what kind of weird threat? Why don't they just send someone to kill him now? Like, why do they have to be afraid of Bronn? He's not some omnipresent god. Like, he's just a normal-ass scumbag.
Yeah.
Like, I don't... Again.
You know, I think, like, what's annoying about it is that I think people who will still be defending it or maybe, like, you know, like, the creators and stuff, as I've been seeing, like, a little bit of, like, responses here and there, they'll say things like, well, you know, it is a fantasy show, whatever, you know? But it's like, yeah,
Whoa, come on.
But, you know, there have been rules here set up for the better of 8 years now, and throwing them all out like this is really... Really kind of a slap in the face to all the viewers, I think.
I mean, especially because they have set up, I mean, nitpicking, like, how could Bronn just show up to a random inn? It seems like a nitpick, but they've gone through such trouble to show how people's presence in inns are noticed. If you go back to, like, season two with Catelyn finding Tyrion, like, these are things that, like, they have shown people do care about in this universe.
Right. You know, I personally didn't need Brienne and Jaime to get together. I thought him knighting her, like, said it all.
Was enough.
Yeah.
I mean, it just felt like the same thing. Like, he had to throw these rocks at Brienne to get her to, like, accept him leaving. I mean, he just could have said, hey, I really need to kill this woman. She's fucking evil. I'll BRB. Like, why does it have to be some sort of, like, we got to break up forever situation?
Yeah, no, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's just to force some emotion from Brienne. I mean, I still think he's going to kill Cersei in the end, maybe kill himself, or Euron kills him, I don't know. I mean, at this point, like, really anything can happen, because when you have plot moving so quickly and kind of aimlessly, you know, like, it's kind of like a ridiculous game to even try and predict what's going to happen, because it's not going to make sense no matter what does.
Well, speaking of things not making sense, no matter how much you want it to, down in the Red Keep, Euron is the greatest ex machina ever. Cersei creates a human shield, and Dany loses a dragon. What is this? How can Euron? This is like the third time he's just popped out of nowhere and just fucked everyone over. Like, it's crazy. What other character has this kind of luck?
Yeah.
I don't understand how Dany is flying overhead and can't see all these ships. Like, she has she's coming up from behind them, technically based on the angle. You know, they're slightly to the left, but she would have seen them. Like, I don't understand how there are no scouts. Is Bran not sending ravens to just scope out things? Like, what is going on? Like, it just seems like, how does such a strong group of people who made it this far look so weak right now? It's just insane.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is that, like, I just recently, I was watching this, there's these guys, Red Letter Media, and they do these pretty good, like, hour-long reviews of, like, the Star Wars movies, or they did, I'm trying to remember, like, Avatar, and they kind of just break it down scene by scene. And one of the biggest things that he pointed out in the last Star Wars movie, which I think applies here, is he's like, most of the things that happen because people are stupid. And people that are not supposed to be stupid, like our heroes, are doing things that get them into trouble and cause actions to happen and, like, conceivably push the plot forward. But they happen at the cost of making our heroes seem really dumb. And that's very different than smart heroes coming up against obstacles that difficult reactions from them, or, like, motivate difficult reactions and then cause plot that way, right? So, or forward mm-hmm. the plot that way. And I think, like, what probably everyone is responding to here, and in sort of like the anger with this episode, is that suddenly people that have not been dumb all seem pretty dumb. And that is really kind of the, I think, most offensive part of it, because if you have, like, right, so strong women like Dany, like Brienne, come off like these, like, pathetic little girls. Guys like Tyrion and Varys, like, kind of don't make sense, but they're speaking in the same way they always have, and so it kind of, like, feels like they are, but, you know, but then when you actually think about it for a second, they're not. Jon has some sort of, like, really, like, I don't know, obliviousness to kind of how things work at all, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, they're trying to pretend as if it's, like, still his honor that it's winning, you know, above all else. But in this particular case, it really doesn't make sense, because there is nothing inherently honorable about telling his sisters that he's a Targaryen. It's like we're simulating these character traits, and everyone knows that they're false because they're dumb. It's boring, ultimately. It's boring to see characters that you love be stupid. And you know, to the Bronn scene, it's like, yeah, it's like really stupid that he's able to just walk into a thing like that. It's really stupid that I don't see. She's just like flying her dragons, like all casual, as they're getting close to King's Landing, and she's not thinking about, like, looking down at the water at all and thinking about, you know, if they can see her, she should be able to see them.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I just,
where is she looking? What are they looking at? You know what I mean? Like, are they,
I mean, also, like, we've been shown that, like, dragons aren't necessarily stupid. I mean, like, if when I walk my dog is looking around at things, like, she notices things, like, they're not going to just, like, be like, oh, la, we're flying back to Storm's End, you know, like, there's just so many other people who should be noticing this, and it just.
And
I will say this though: when Viserion gets shot, that was fucking metal. That was actually crazy. I mean, it was dumb how it happened, but God, that bolt to the throat was pretty sick.
Yeah, I mean, but, like, you know, I thought he was dead already last week. So, like, who gives a shit? You know what I mean? Like, but you know, but the dumb character action, I mean, they really, like, they double down on it and they go all the way through with it. Like, with Tyrion walking up to the gates again, pretending that he knows that his sister is better. You know, it's like, man, fool me once, Cersei, right? Like, shame on you. Fool me fucking 10 times. I'm an idiot. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Let's talk about that scene. I mean, Danny arrives to quote unquote sort of give a final treatsy. Offer a final
treat. Yeah, what does she have? Like 10 guys with her?
I was just like, wait, is this supposed to be like part of her army or a whole army showing up? Because I would just be like, I'm not going to show up with. What? It just looks weird. The CGI looked bad for the entire landscape. Like, I don't even know. What's happening? Why would they even meet them like that? If I was Cersei, I would have just loosened all my bows on everyone there. Like, why didn't she do that?
Yeah. I know. It's all very disappointing. Where do you stand kind of on the rest, you know, the last couple episodes? Is there anything you could see that you would want to see that would at all redeem kind of where we're heading?
Wow, that's a great question. I mean, after Missandei's death, I'm just like, you guys really just don't care. Like, I know that this show is supposed to be all about shock and stuff, and just her death, it's just so inconsiderate for the fact that, like, there's no people of color in the show. And I know that, I understand, like, the emotional impact it's supposed to have on Dany mm-hmm. and Grey Worm, but it could have been just someone else, you know? Like, I don't know. It just felt like,
why? Well, I mean, I think the bigger issue, though, there in that is that any, like, that there is no actual important character of color aside from, what's his name? Grey Worm. And, yeah, I mean, the reason it's Missandei, right, it happens to be a horrible coincidence that she's the only actress of color. But it's also that, like, her character is unnecessary in a, like, and for the plot, at least, right, of the battle. Like, so why do it at all then, yeah. Right? It's like, is actually the better question. Why kill her at all if, in fact, killing her doesn't move the plot one way or the other? Because, yeah, she's like her bud, but like,
I mean, did Cersei really expect her to surrender her? Like, no offense I mean, to that relationship, but
they could
no.
have had that whole thing without her holding her captive like that.
No one, if they kidnapped me and you were like Daenerys, I would not expect you to save me. I would not expect you to surrender. Like, what are you talking about? Like, it's not even a good hostage situation. They should have just killed her where they found her. Like, there's no.
But I mean, just like humor me here for like, if they had just done the scene without her and it was just a sort of like standoff of demands and then they both had walked back to either side and been like, okay. Like, a battle it will be, a battle same, it same is. Thing. It's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. If anything, I think they're trying to use this death to push Dany again more in that mad queen direction, which she deserves to be upset about. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing. Like, why are you making it seem like it's unreasonable for her to be incredibly upset? Like, anyone would be in this situation. It doesn't change the fact that they were going to fight anyway. So, I don't understand, like, why I... The death of her second dragon and Missandei is just really supposed to push her over the edge. And it's really frustrating that they keep trying to force this narrative down our throats and keep just killing characters to justify this swing. That's all they're doing. They like, we have no reason to make her act this way. Let's just keep killing people until it starts to make sense.
So of the couple options that people are predicting, A, Jon dies, B, Danny dies, or like C, both of them die, or neither of them die. Which one do you think it's gonna be?
Honestly, like, I just have no horse in this race of the show on predictions. Mm-hmm. Almost every outcome is gonna infuriate me, except for them both living.
Right. I mean, to me, I think the logical thing is to have them both come together finally and just try and build, like, leave it as if, like, they're about to begin building a better world, you know? Like, why are we doing any of this if that's not sort of where it's heading?
Exactly. I mean, well, okay, what's again, okay, touching on that, it's like, why have John be resurrected? Why have Danny walk through the mm-hmm. flames if they're not going to ultimately end up in some very important, have a very important role in the story? Yeah. And from what I had, all whatever Danny could have not existed for the sake of the entire Game of Thrones at this right. point. If you're gonna do this to her right now, it's like
right. It really just destroys all that time that she was sitting there waiting to have the perfect army, the perfect this, you know, and to just come in and just be punked like that. I mean,
even touching on Bran's role, like, why is he even the Three-Eyed Raven? Why do we sit through that? Mm-hmm. What did it pay off? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So that's just, like, I guess my ultimate frustrations with this show is that we waited so long to have all these beautiful storylines. These beautiful storylines paid off. And so far, the only person who it ever made sense for was, at this point, fucking Theon, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, this show was made for Theon at this point. If you had asked me what was the whole point of Game of Thrones, to see Theon's arc, we're done.
Yeah, it's the only one that really has, like, finality to it.
Yeah, that was it. Just, I, maybe Ser Jorah.
You know, and maybe Jaime if he does kill Cersei. I mean, I was saying that, like, when I really think back of it, for me, the obviously best scene of the whole series is Jaime and Brienne in the hot tub. For me, that scene really just punctuates kind of the best part of the show, which is that, right, all these people live in this sort of like the political nature of the land is that there's like a official narrative and everyone just sort of like agrees to go with it. And in fact, there's always another side to the story. And I just thought that was such a wise theme to have in the show, you know. And that also applies to like real life and to our society and especially our mm-hmm. you know, our politics and especially like in the West, we like a strong narrative, you know, and we tend to just sort of all agree with it and then move on, you know. So I always thought that was just sort of the most beautiful element of the whole thing. And, you know, and then that right now it's just him sleeping with her after finding out she's a virgin, which is, it was kind of creepy and rapey and I don't know, just like not the best kind of motivator to get them into bed, I thought.
Well, that's like, honestly, to your point, I would have loved if he had just knighted her, they survived, he's leaving, and they share like some sort of like tearful goodbye mm-hmm. where they sort of kind of admit how they feel. It was just so cheap and sort of like I don't know. Like he admits all this like respect for her before the big battle, and for her to him to just leave like that, it's just sort of like I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just like everyone took 10 steps back this episode, as far as character development.
Yeah, it just sucked. It just really sucks.
And I feel like Brienne wouldn't have cried. I feel like she just would have whooped Jaime's ass in that courtyard right there. But that's just like I don't. It just seems out of character for her to act that way as well.
Yeah.
Predictions for next week, if you have
any. No, I'm really like, no idea. Don't care. I mean, like care, like I care in the sense that I just kind of want to like finish it, but like, I believe anything can happen. And at this point, it's like the toy is broken. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I'll see it through the end, but it's broken and it's not going to be fixed. So I'll have fun just sort of like trying to figure out what Benioff and Weiss were thinking Joy's and sort of, yeah. So what were they thinking they were going to kind of get away with here? You know what I mean? Cause I do think from like as a student of movies and TV and writing and kind of looking at how story structure works, just sort of seeing what they're trying to get away with is the game.
Yeah. I don't really have any predictions. I have some hopes. I really hope that Euron questions Cersei about Tyrion knowing about her baby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he should be wondering why Tyrion knew about that.
I wouldn't be surprised if they gloss over it, because at this point, this show is just fuck it. You know, season 3 Game of Thrones would have definitely paid that off, but here we are.
Mm-hmm.
So it may never be a thing. I would love for him to turn on her next episode. I mean, this is going to be the penultimate battle. So we know Cersei has to lose. I really don't think they're going to let her win. It would make absolutely no sense. It wouldn't even be a good twist. It would just be lazy.
Yeah.
I'm a little anxious about this. I mean, it's crazy how, at this point, I almost accept this season as fan fiction. I don't even know if I consider
it. Yeah, it feels like it's like not canon, right? Yeah.
Already made peace with the story.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think you can stop watching the series when she starts sailing for Westeros. And you'd be in pretty good territory on the whole, you know? It starts getting a little thin there, but fine, you know? It's enough.
Yeah, really. You can just end it there.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of endings, we can end this podcast for tonight. Thank you so much, Greg, for jumping on this with me. We'll see everybody next week. You.